Welcome to Class of Ring Attire. I'm Chris. Joel's not here. We're going to get classy without Joel. I know some of you might be a little bit disappointed that you're not listening to a skinny guy that sounds obviously like he has curly hair, because he does. So he could not make it this week, but all is not lost because we have brought back everyone's favorite guest host, Mr. Blair Douglas. Say hey to the people, Blair.
Hello, everybody. I was so nice, they did me twice.
Precisely. Yeah. And so everyone should remember this cat. If not, I mean, you were here a month ago, so, you know, that's not really our fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So Joel's gone, you know, star crazy with his stage career over here. You know, he's just leaving us all in the dirt.
So Hollywood.
Right?
So Hollywood.
I knew it was going to happen one of these days. And I just assumed it was going to be me.
And I want him to know, too, that how much trouble we had trying to just, like, set up the audio to do this, too. So
right?
he better listen to this. He should be here doing this.
He knows how...
Hey, everybody, it's Joel. Just had to jump in here real quick, because Chris and Blair seem to forget that even though they recorded this podcast, I'm still going to be the one to edit it, which means that anything they say, I can still take out. And that's what I'm doing, because there's about 9 minutes talking here, and we're just going to go ahead and skip to the part where they talk about wrestling. All right, thanks for listening.
So, let's move on to actual wrestling.
All right.
Because that's what the kids are here for, so let's do that.
All right.
We had a nice little pay-per-view this weekend, Elimination Chamber. So let's delve into that a little bit.
Yeah.
First off, we had the pre-show. I'm not sure if you caught it, Blair. A lot of people just kind of, you know, skip out on it or just don't care.
I saw what the match was and decided that they would do okay without me.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that. I hear that Clay and Tensai won.
They did, just yeah. Like everyone had pretty much guessed they would, because they're the new toy.
Cody and Sandow seem to have taken quite the dive.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were supposed to have been broken up, for one, because they were going more towards the singles route now.
Yeah.
But I guess they just didn't believe in all the other heel tag teams, or they thought the heel tag teams just couldn't take the hit.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. I can understand that maybe if you know, they're thinking the primetime players.
Yeah.
You know, because I know they're always up back and forth on those guys, whether they want to push them or not. But they could easily put the colognes in there. They always lose.
Well, and I didn't realize that there wasn't going to be an IC match on the show. I had thought that I had read, mistakenly, obviously, that there would be one.
Right.
But I'm kind of surprised they wouldn't have plugged that on the pre-show. And not that I have any great desire to see Wade Barrett.
Of course.
But still.
It is surprising that they had a somewhat meaningless match between, like, later in the night between Ziggler and Kofi.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, you know, having the Intercontinental Champion on the show.
Yeah, that was another weird thing about that. I guess in the big scheme of things, Ziggler's probably a bigger deal. Well, not,
right.
Yeah, not almost. He is a bigger deal.
Yeah, he's one of those guys where they really want him to be on every show if possible.
And I think he's been losing a lot of weird stuff lately, so I think they wanted to give him a win.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense, I suppose.
Yeah.
Did you see
the pre-show?
Yes, matter of fact, the only real entertaining thing was, they were, Stryker and that new guy, Tony Dawson, I think is his name.
Okay.
The new commentator.
Yeah.
They were discussing on what their team name should be, Tensai and Brodus.
Okay.
The only thing that they came up with, and it's Matt Stryker's fault, was, the Dancing Bears.
The Dancing Bears. Wow, that's... Is that innuendo? I don't know.
Like, it is. Oh, sir, it is, because there is an actual porn genre.
No, I realize that. That's why I'm wondering.
I don't know if that was an accident or intentional. I kind of went into detail about that on my column this week.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, high class up here.
Look forward to that.
Oh, yeah. So I won't really go into all the... the details on how, you know, it's an accurate metaphor for the pre-show. But It was pretty close.
Well, I don't know. The Clay Tensai team, I guess it's just sort of, it's the same as every other team they've kind of got. They just,
right.
With the singles wrestlers that they've thrown together, it was like Tyson Kidd and the Nexus South
Justin
African
Gabriel,
guy.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, you know, we're not really doing anything with them, and they're both
right.
big, and they're both fat, and you know, they wobble around and dance, and it's entertaining, because Rikishi was funny, so here we go. Rikishi,
yeah.
Rikishi for two. So that now that would have been a tag team name.
Well, Rikishi for two, don't we already have that with the Usos?
Well, kind of, but they're not fat and they don't dance.
True.
Yeah.
They're pretty much Rikishi split in half.
Yeah, exactly. Split in half twice.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, yeah.
I mean,
so.
Yeah, and sure, I'm okay with it because, you know, both of these guys were really going nowhere fast, so it gives them something to do, and I guess it adds some sort of intrigue to their character. Not much, but it's more than what they were dealing with before this.
I guess they're going to need some comedy, too, with Brian and Kane probably going splitting pretty quick.
Yeah, that also.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that, but yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So, yeah, moving on to the actual show that everyone actually gives a crap about.
Yeah.
We started off with the World Heavyweight Championship, Alberto Del Rio versus The Big Show, with a nice little appearance from The Bucket.
Yes, that was hard to watch. I don't know, like, I don't pretend to know how they rehearse this type of thing, but
right.
I wonder if they tried that beforehand, that Bucket thing.
I would assume they did.
One would hope,
Big Show
anyway.
Knew exactly where to place it.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, he did, but I mean...
And it was very well staged, it just wasn't executed at all.
Is that what it was? Because it just sort of seems like he was holding it on the other side of the ropes. So to hit an enziguri... on, maybe not that far on the other side of the ropes, but it was kind of up there. It was over the top rope anyway, so to kind of hit an enziguri on a target that small over the top seems like a difficult thing to
right.
do. And you know, I could understand if they have tried it on Raw or SmackDown or whatever, but to try
exactly.
it on pay-per-view seemed to be a bit of an odd thing. I didn't even know what had happened at first.
Right, like, it was one of those things, like, I've gone back and there's plenty of, you know, GIF files of it. And I've tried to, like, look really close at exactly what went wrong there, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if Del Rio slipped or what. But see, knowing him, like, that's always been the one thing I could actually give him credit for, those insecure kicks, because those have always looked like the best thing he can pull off.
Especially lately, now that he's trying to
right.
fire up the crowd. His kicks are really like an Austin Aries, like, I don't know if it's just something about the way he pulls them off, and that click that happens when it hits the head. Like, there's some ROH guys that are known for that well, too,
right.
and that, I can never get over that. Like, just the click, and it's
yeah.
like a foot to the head. I don't know how they manage to make that sound, and they're not they're not eating through a tube the next day. But
exactly.
it's just, it looks really good. I guess
right.
the moral is that it probably shouldn't be performed on buckets in midair.
Probably not, but see... But knowing that, knowing how well he can pull that off,
yeah.
I am just going to make the safe assumption that Big Show did something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just put all the blame on him.
Yeah, it's more likely that it was him. But I don't know. Even if he did screw up.
Right.
The match, other than that, I thought was better than the Rumble one. I don't think it was better than the SmackDown one they had, though. I think that one still... It's probably my
personal initial
favorite.
One where Del Rio won the championship?
Yeah, I like that one. I went back and watched that after the fact. And
okay.
I thought that one was... Yeah, I didn't think this one was bad. But that ending, just because it was such a critical point in the match, the fact that that didn't work out, I felt bad for them because they were doing all right before that. You know what I mean? And I had made such a smart-ass comment earlier on... about how, you know, like, Del Rio was doing really good. He was hitting kicks. He hit a Hurricanrana on Big Show, rolled him out of the ring with it, and then hit a suicide dive. And I, being me, had to be like, oh, I'm sure nostalgic for those awesome, exciting Sheamus World Heavyweight title matches, aren't you? And then, sure to God, like, 10 minutes later, this horrible, glaring botch from Del Rio. And I was just like, I can hear like 3 or 4 commenters already, and I haven't even posted the damn thing yet. Like, I knew, I was like, damn it, why? And I considered taking it out, but I'm like, no, you gotta play it straight,
Right,
straight.
Oh yeah.
But still,
so you really think that this match was better than Royal Rumble?
Yeah, that
just is it just because of the duct tape?
The duct tape didn't help, but other than that one thing where he threw him off the scaffolding, which was insane.
Right.
That made the Rumble match for me. I just thought that overall this one was better. And surprisingly enough, I thought Big Show did okay in this one too. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty harsh on the match whenever I was doing my column, just because, you know, it always feels like, even whenever Del Rio was a heel, it just seems like his feuds seem longer than probably what they are.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, with the exception of Sheamus, because that one really was way too long.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something about his character just makes everything make time go by a lot slower.
Well, and I hadn't seen it for myself, but I had heard that, like, I thought he was doing pretty well. You know, they didn't have to overly explain the babyface turn. Some crowds were confused when he first came out, but then between it was his work, you know, it seemed like by the end of most matches they were into it. So I thought it was going pretty well, but then I read something, it was on a Raw that I never saw, but somebody read something about him cutting an incredibly lame and cheesy, just good guy, this is why you should cheer me, and I did this, but now I'm doing that. And I can't imagine that helped the overall feel of it.
No, probably not. But I will say this, out of, you know, the two face turns that we got around the same time, he's definitely further along than Miz.
Wow, that goes
I mean, and then that's not really much high praise, but it's less confusing with Del Rio.
Well, I mean, how long has he had this now? He's had it since December, I think, or was it...
Something along those lines, yeah.
So he's had it for probably, I guess, a couple months now, probably by this point. And I compare it to the most recent babyface that had the run with that belt, which was Sheamus. And overall, in terms of, like, firing up a crowd for a match and whatnot, I think Del Rio's doing a bit better. I think it seems less forced.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That just comes around to just ring work, you know, and Del Rio, he obviously is a little bit more savvy, and he can make things look a little bit more effortless.
Yeah.
You know, Sheamus, like we've said before, he, you know, 10 minutes into the match, and he's just covered in flop sweat.
pretty much. I thought the match was okay. I mean, the right guy won for sure. There's no doubt about that.
I was a little disappointed that there was no cash in. I know everyone was predicting it, so that kind of solidified that it wouldn't happen.
Everybody predicted it at every pay-per-view, though, since, I would say October or so. They predicted it every pay-per-view, although this is the one I would have to say, I would have thought. Because what's the... You're going to have to refresh my memory on the rule of that thing. Does he have until WrestleMania to cash it in, or does he have until the next Money in the Bank pay-per-view?
Yeah, I think it's, like, he has a year... the year since he won it.
Okay, so he doesn't even have to do it at Mania if he doesn't want to.
No, not at all. It just seems like it's one of those things where with the WrestleMania storylines, you know, starting up, it felt like if he wasn't going to do it now, then, you know, it would seem like forever before he's able to.
Well, I guess, to do it at Mania when there's certainly going to be more people watching, you know, right. I think, you know...
And you put on top of, you know, all the dirt sheet reporting of, you know, they're wanting to turn Ziggler face and do it, you know, around the time where they're in WrestleMania because of the New York crowd, and the New York crowd apparently, you know, loves the guy. But then again, you know, these are people who claim to have the inside scoop on things, and, you know, they'd be completely wrong.
I don't know that turning Ziggler face is such a great idea. Like, I he's kind of popular on his own now without being a face. I guess they could do it, just as long as they don't turn him into the smiling, Sheamus-y, Cena-y type guy. Because he'll get lynched. For that.
Oh yeah,
and so hopefully they at least allow him to maintain some of what's kept him, you know, solid in the eyes of people. And again, this is from someone who's not incredibly high on Ziggler, but at the same time, you can certainly acknowledge what makes him as popular as he is.
Right. I would think that they would just keep him along the same lines of the character that he has now, but like less heel tactics, I guess. You know.
Well, he's
just
gonna have to ditch his posse then too, isn't he?
He would have to ditch Big E.
I guess he doesn't really have to ditch AJ.
Yeah, I think enough people are behind AJ to you know, leave her be.
Yeah.
Or just have her do something else. You know, it really doesn't matter. Like, she's kind of proved that she can kind of hold her own.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, it doesn't have to be a big, and I'm assuming Big E's going to kind of go out on his own here eventually anyway.
Well, he started off that, didn't he? He dumped Kofi pretty good.
Yeah, he did. I would be so glad if he, you know, started doing his five count thing from NXT.
I only heard about that. I had never seen it for myself, but I had heard about it. It sounded great. What was the next? It was Cesaro and The Miz were next, weren't they?
Yes, Cesaro and Miz.
Yikes.
I know this. I know Cesaro, he pulled off a few impressive things. Miz did a good job of not screwing up as bad as he hasn't recently.
Yeah.
And there was a nut shot somewhere. That's really the entire match right there.
I cannot stand watching The Miz. I think he's about as embarrassing as, like, the talking, the wrestling, all of it. One thing that he did that I liked, though, and I, you know, credit writing, credit him, whatever, but after the match, you know, Cesaro has his finish or whatever, and after that, he kicked him right in the balls intentionally, and it just looked really good, like, it was delivered with, like, such convincing, like, hatred, and the crowd, seemed to like it, and I think that probably more than anything I've seen from Miz since he turned into a good guy so far, is the only thing, and I mean the only thing that I think has worked. I don't think it's necessarily going to get him anywhere. I'm just saying out of other, like, hey,
but
wow,
that sure has
they like that. They like that. People actually like that. Yeah.
Say what you want about him. You know, I think he's a bag of crap. He's horrible in the ring, and he's even worse on the mic. But he sure can deliver a shot to the junk.
Well, that time he could anyway.
Well,
But then I almost got worried. It's like, oh god, I hope that doesn't mean they're going to give this another go. Like,
which they did the next night.
I know.
And he won clean.
Oh, I know. I'm very disappointed.
Really,
I don't know.
It was a pretty quick match on Raw, too. Like, just hit the figure four and he was done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just plain disappointing. Especially with, I mean, Cesaro, I think he's been fantastic through this whole thing.
I can watch that video of him just, you know, hurling Miz into the barricade over and over and over again.
See, I didn't see it when it first happened, so when I read about it, I just thought he swung him into the barricade once and that was it. I didn't think that was so impressive. Like, I thought it was cool. It's a neat move for sure. But, yeah. I mean, you know, I've, you know, Joe and a bunch of other guys, you know, they used to do it, and it always looked really good. I did, but then I went and I watched it, and I was like, oh, he's continuing to swing him. Like, that actually is really cool. Exactly. Yeah, I thought that was good. I didn't think that... you know, the match that he had with Miz on Sunday was all that. Even for him, it seemed to be a little bit slow. Again, look what he's got to work with, though. There's not really a whole lot there.
Yeah. I'm ready to see him move on. But I know they won't, because now that Miz has beat him cleanly on Raw, that kind of means that they're still going to keep going forward with this.
I really hope Miz doesn't make it out of this, out of that feud with the belt. It's bad enough that we've got to live for this long.
I have a feeling they will.
All right, next. Moving on.
Moving on.
Elimination Chamber.
We have the Elimination Chamber match.
This blew
Jericho,
me away.
Brian, Kane, Mark Henry, Jack Swagger, and Randy Orton.
All right, well... I don't know. I had a whole bunch of good and bad about this. This was like really up and down for me. Who was starting the match was pretty obvious. This is sort of when I was dared by Mr. James Alsop, who you may know, who's an inside pulser. I was dared by him to drink for my recap, and so I did. I did really well with that. But like partway through, like there was just a lot of stuff. Like Herrick, he tweeted before the match started. He goes, I really like Swagger's new look. It's nothing spectacular, but enough that he now looks like an adult and a star. And so I wrote in mine, I'm just like, the more I look at Jack Swagger or listen to him talk, the more obvious it is to me that he's a slow adult. Like he just, I don't know what it is. Between the look. I don't particularly think he's a really overrated wrestler. People right. quite often, I find, will give him credit for his ring work. I don't think there's all that much to it, really.
Right. I mean, yeah, we haven't really seen all that much
yeah.
from him to garnish, you know, being that impressive. I dig the new look. It's something different for him, and yeah. it's not so much overtly, you know, Kurt Angle. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it's not yeah. so much overly Kurt Angle. I'll definitely give him that. Yeah. The Tea Party thing is a hell of a way to get people to boo him.
Yeah, especially since, you know, it's kind of obvious that they're going to slate him against Del Rio.
I understand why. I think they probably could have given that to someone a lot better than Swagger. Absolutely.
Probably.
No doubt.
Although,
about that.
I mean, and as much as I really don't like the whole Zeb Coulter thing.
Well,
I feel like it was a little bit unneeded, but it is kind of needed in the sense that Jack Swagger almost has that Brock Lesnar
speech
inability
impediment?
To speak.
Yeah, okay. That's way more politically correct. We'll go with that. way better than what I was going to say. Yeah, no, he does. And it's just, I don't know what it is about the look. He mm-hmm. looks like a slow adult to me. And I don't know what, you know, the new haircut don't help. Like, it looks like he looks like one of those kids with the bike helmets. I don't know what it is. Like, anyway, I won't spend the whole thing talking about Jack Swagger. Mark Henry now looks like the Kool-Aid man. Like, he got bigger.
He's gotten a little bit bigger, yeah.
I put a few quotes from James Sawyer. I was watching the show in the chat with him and Swayze and a couple other people. And I put a few quotes from him in there. And he said, 20 sticks of butter laid down their lives to squeeze Henry in that pod. which is pretty great.
That's fantastic.
And at one point he wrote, Henry's fogged up his pod and wrote, send more ho-hos in the fog. So, I don't know. We talked about Henry the last time. I don't get it. I like the start of the match with Jericho and Bryan. I thought that was good. And then Slow Adult Swagger was next. And then he came in and I thought he, you know, did sort of what you'd expect him to do. Here's the thing about this. I thought even Henry had a better chance of winning than Swagger.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought in 100 years that they would give it to Swagger.
I definitely thought it was going to be Jericho.
Jericho or Orton would have been my most likely pick.
There, yeah,
definitely
exactly.
thought it should have been Brian, but we've been there. So
well, yeah.
yeah, but I thought Jericho or Orton. Kane, yeah, he does his usual chamber thing. I thought the stuff
right.
with him and Brian was okay. I think
yeah.
it's kind of dumb to try to get Brian to be a heel, though, isn't it? People like
yeah,
Brian.
But, well, I mean. Yeah, I mean, and they had him working as a face.
Yeah, they did
on Raw the next night.
They did, yeah, and
so
but then
it's weird.
Well,
like,
sort of though, because he worked as the face against Swagger, but then didn't
right.
he came down and cost Kane his match, didn't he?
He did.
Well, that's heelish from where I'm standing, but it's
unless you're John Cena.
Well, unless you're John, yeah, he's exempt though, and unfortunately he's exempt.
Of course.
Randy Orton, I thought, I go, you know, I don't think a whole lot of Orton. I thought he did
yeah.
really good here, though.
Yeah, I thought it was good. And, you know, it's one of those things. Me and Joel, we were really big on Orton, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But he's lost so much momentum between here and there.
And yet he still seems to be the second or third most popular guy on the show.
Right.
And,
I mean,
and
that's
I'm
just
really
because,
surprised
you know,
by that.
The ladies most, more than anybody, love the guy.
Yeah, I think that's a big part, and I think kids probably take to him too, but
right.
Still, like, given how much they've had him lose to just total, like your Wade Barrett's
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
your... And,
I mean, with no shenanigans or anything, yeah.
And other guys too, the names are escaping me at the moment, but,
right.
you know, and Swagger here, so crazy. And then the Henry thing came, and... A bunch of guys ran into him.
Right.
He hit his one finish on Brian, and he pinned him.
Right.
And I was like, like I could not believe it. I couldn't believe that. So you can imagine how I took it 3 minutes later when he did the exact same thing to Kane. It was like
yeah.
he just single-handedly beat the tag team champions, and I could not believe it. And then, you know, he goes, and then it took, and then, it, and after that, it took three guys to beat him. Three guys, all hitting their finishers
to the mouth.
Yeah, yeah, to the mouth, which he needs desperately. And I don't know, it blew my mind. What did you think? You're a lot kinder on Henry than I am. What did you think about the whole thing?
I understand why they did it, because, you know, I mean, they're still trying to. They knew they weren't going to have him win. They had to figure out a way for him to lose, but they still want him to come across as this big bad monster.
Well, he came across as the toughest guy in there. They accomplished what they set out to do. It's Mark Henry. It's not believable to me. But the general public reaction to it seemed to be very good. Like, they seemed to think it all went very well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he got the easy pop from the crowds whenever he, you know, sent Orton through the glass at one point.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's going to react to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you eliminate, you know, top guys like that with relative ease, you know, like, they did pull it off, you know. It's just, I guess, you know, to you, it just wouldn't be all that believable.
It's not, but that's just me. Right. I will say this, though. After he was out of there, they had a great, I thought, series of near falls and where you legitimately didn't know who was going to win. Right. Certainly didn't think it would be the guy who was.
No.
I hate that the guy won, because I really, you know, the idea of watching him is just painful to me. But at the same time, the fact that such an unexpected guy won it, almost, you know, it helped the suspense of it. As soon as he rolled up Orton, I'm just like, oh my God. And then the bell rings and I'm like, oh my God. So then I checked. Then I had to check the time on my computer to make sure I hadn't time traveled back to 2011. And like, I have a Mac, and the backup I use is called a Time Machine. And I thought maybe there was an accident with it or something like that.
They slipped one in.
Never mind what I thought. Either way, it hadn't happened. So
right.
I'm just recycling jokes from my recap now. That's probably a bad idea. But
I mean, I do it all the time.
Well, so Swagger. Yeah, Swagger is going
to... Yeah, we got Swagger, and we got a couple more months of just hearing that god-awful synthesizer bagpipe music.
Yeah, that sounded... I thought his old one was kind of annoying, and not all that good for him, but this new one is far worse, yeah.
Oh, yeah, like, I would much rather go back to whatever the Check 1-2 thing was.
The Beastie Boys mock-up?
Yeah!
I mean, Swagger. Again, the Tea Party thing, if you want to do it, I think that there's no better way to get heat, because so many people hate those. I still can't swear. See, the thing is, you don't have Joel, so you wouldn't be able to bleep me, I don't think. But still,
Joel's still going to edit this.
I'm going
to
be.
So Joel's going to listen to it.
Oh, well, good thing you mentioned that now. Yeah. Okay. The Tea Party is such a hated thing. And I know that not living here. And if you have a political party, how many political parties can you name in other countries? I know the U.S. is a different kind of animal, but the fact that everybody knows what the Tea Party is from around the world, and it's reviled by so many people. If you want to get a guy booed, again, I think Swagger's absolutely the wrong guy to go about it. There's guys that they have that they could have used. I think there's probably guys on that NXT show that they could have brought up that they could have used. And Swagger's
I'm hearing is you think this Tea Party character should have been put on Fandango.
Well, I don't totally know what Fandango is.
Dancing Tea Party member.
It seems to me Fandango, and I hadn't even ever seen an ad for it until last night when I kind of had Ron in the background, but
yeah.
It looks like an ad for a porn movie with a budget of about $30. So, I don't know. The Tea Party thing, though, that will get them some booze, but...
You know, when they put him up against Del Rio...
Yeah.
You know, it's... Right, like, the story pretty much writes itself. It's just, I don't want to be listening to those rants between, like, either one of the rants from either guy. I just don't want to, like, it's a wrestling show, you know, let's not have to talk about, you know, racial equality or anything like that
I tend to think that I've been watching a little too long for the most part to be kind of, you know, by a storyline be coiled into chanting for one guy or another based on a storyline. Right. But this does kind of, I hate to admit it, but this does, between the fact that it's Jack Swagger and between the fact that Jack Swagger's now working a Tea Party gimmick, I kind of do want to see Del Rio just kick his face in.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
that,
yeah.
I can't say that a lot about a lot of storytelling.
To be honest with you, I don't think it would be so bad if they had a different mouthpiece to this whole situation. Like, Zeb Coulter, like, it just doesn't work for me.
Now, Zeb seems, and again, maybe I don't know as much about Tea Party as I should, but Zeb seems, and I'm just thinking that in terms of I've never seen him before, right. If he were just a guy that popped up, he seems to me like he would look like a guy in a Tea Party.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, by that aspect, they, you know, knocked it out of the park. It's just for my own sanity. I was just like, come on, do we have to do the whole racism thing?
Oh, yeah, no, you're opposed to the storyline. Oh, I get it. I totally get it. But,
and I mean, if they needed some sort of mouthpiece to carry Jack Swagger forward, personally, I think, like what you said, there's already talent that could take care of this. They could easily bring up Bray Wyatt from NXT, and he could easily fit into something like this. Plus, you add in to the whole, the creepy factor of it all, and then, bam, you got heat right there. And he's been injured, so he doesn't necessarily have to be in the ring, just like Zeb Coulter, so he'd be fine.
I hadn't seen the Wyatts until I just, not the last one I did, but before that, I did NXT, and I hadn't seen the Wyatt family before that. I had just seen, like, the odd pictures that I probably made a couple inappropriate jokes about. But
it's right on the surface. You have to.
Yeah, exactly. But those Wyatts, it's kind of the same thing. They look like guys who I want to see them get their asses kicked. And WWE hasn't produced heels like that in a very long time.
No, not at all. And I think, to be honest, because Bray Wyatt, it's one of those things, like when he came up here through NXT when he was
Husky
Harris. Yeah, he really didn't have a whole lot of a personality. Like, I liked him in the ring. He was fine. You know, and then they brought him down. And then I've been watching a little bit of his vignettes and stuff like that on NXT, and I thought they were really impressive how much he's progressed.
I didn't even realize he looked so different. I didn't even realize that he was Husky.
I wouldn't have known anything about this, but back in March of last year, Raw was here in Greensboro, and we went there, and he did a dark match, and I had no idea who it was until, you know, I looked up the name when I got home, and I'm like, oh, that was Husky Harris. He dropped some pounds and picked up a decent character. Who knew?
Well, and I thought, like, you know, the NXT that I watched, which Dusty Rhodes is the commissioner of, which kind of caught me off guard, but it was funny because it was funny because, again, I did not know it was Husky. And I do think that this Bray guy probably would make a pretty good mouthpiece, but even just like at one point, I don't remember the details of it, but, Dusty came down and he kicked Bray out of ringside. Right. And Bray just smiled and walked backwards up the ramp and was staring at him like he was going to go kill one of Dusty's kids. Like, he was just going to go to the back, grab a screwdriver, and prison shank him. And so at that point, I was thinking, like, please let it be Cody. Please let it be Cody. Please let it be Cody. But anyway, like, I thought it was really good. But, you know, back to Swagger. I was talking about replacing Swagger, not replacing his mouthpiece. But either way, I think...
Right. There could be adjustments either way. I was just going off the fact that, you know, they had already, making the assumption that they were already married to the idea of this current character being Swagger, you know. But that was just me. But,
Fair enough.
it easily could have been any of the guys who just haven't been on screen for a while.
Well, and I don't know, this seems like something to me, like, they could get in trouble with. Like, the Tea Party already came out and said something. I saw the article today. The thing is, I feel like a lot of the United States wrestling base, I feel like a lot of it is pretty redneck. And you'd be able to, I don't know the answer to this, but just, this is just me looking in from the outside, but it sort of seems like the Tea Party is a pretty redneck thing. Not saying that all rednecks are into the Tea Party.
No.
Not saying that at all, but
I'm just going off of the perception that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
I mean, it's not a horribly unjust, you know, conclusion to come to. It's hard to really describe. Wrestling, especially down here in the South, wrestling fans tend to be a lot of the
Ryback fans. It's
still real to me type people.
The Ryback fans.
Right. Oh, dear Lord. Here in Greensboro, they were cheering the entire night for the guy. The entire night. Oh, man.
Well, they've kind of stayed away from political gimmicks in the past. So this
they have. They sort have, of especially like since with the, the Linda campaign, you know.
Well, they, yeah.
They usually tend to veer away from that lately.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just... I know that they're trying to appeal a lot more to the Latin demographic.
Yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're losing that demographic to UFC.
Yes.
So, I mean, I understand why they're doing it. And the thing is, to be honest with you, the Tea Party pretty much is so hated, I really don't think they're going to get that much backlash from it. At least not from the wrestling fans. They'll get heat from it. Okay, here's the thing. Okay, I saw that same article that you're referring to about, you know, he's a talk show host or some, or a reporter or something like that. Who is
Alex Jones? He's there insane. You go.
Yeah, completely hardcore Tea Party.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Here's the thing. He kept saying that, oh, WWE is demonizing the Tea Party. That's not the case. The Tea Party is demonizing the Tea Party.
Oh,
because
all
Zeb Coulter's doing is repeating the rhetoric that they've been using this entire time.
Well, that's all he needs to do, and that's what's so crazy about it to me, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to look at what this thing was that he said. Here we go. Just this Piers Morgan thing that he was on, because that's how Alex Jones... So that's the thing that, like, Alex Jones is a fairly prominent and famous Tea Party guy.
Right.
And I hate to, you know, he's one of their more recognizable figures or whatever. Come on, load. Anyway.
It's like him and Glenn Beck, essentially.
Yeah, I'm here to tell you 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. The tyrants did it. Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns.
It's one of those things where it's like, oh, you know, they're making us look like monsters. But like I said, he's just repeating what they've already established is their own rhetoric.
They seem to be fairly well politically connected, though. And that was what I thought maybe they might...
They have a decent base. But again, like, everyone... The only people who like the Tea Party or even are tolerant of the Tea Party are members of the Tea Party.
Yeah,
like, either you love it or you can't stand it. Like, there's no medium. So yeah. I really, other than people who are actually in the Tea Party, I wouldn't expect much of a backlash from that angle.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be a backlash, you know, the fact that he's being overtly racist for the character, but...
Well, and this dude in the vest with the mustache, and, you know, he strikes me as a Tea Party guy that I would absolutely have no problem believing that. Slow adult Jack Swagger. Slow adults and Tea Party go together like chocolate and milk to me. So, you know, it's not a stretch for me to believe.
No. It's believable. But moving on, you know, back to actual wrestling.
We were getting all political there. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Dude, this is what happens, man.
Yeah.
Joel's not here to keep us in line.
Class.
So we have, the Shield versus, the Super Friends.
I'll let you go first on this one, but.
This one, I was pleasantly surprised, and I really shouldn't have been. We saw what the Shield is capable of as a team back at TLC and how well they were able to pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is different because, you know, we don't have all the weapons and all the, you know, the hardware.
Mm-hmm.
But we pretty much knew how Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose... We knew that they were going to be great on their own.
Yep.
I don't think any of us quite realized how well these three would work together.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Lord, they are just a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
And they're really, really impressive.
Well, and I'm right there with you on that TLC match. I thought that was fantastic. I think to anybody who I hadn't seen a lot of Dean Ambrose. I'd seen a lot of Seth Rollins from back when he was Tyler Black. Hadn't seen any of Roman Reigns. I think even to anybody who hadn't seen them before that, you knew that Ambrose and Rollins were really good. Reigns, I didn't think he was very good based on what I had seen in that match. But boy, I'll tell you, in this last one, he was good. Like,
oh, you're talking about the one on Raw?
Yeah. Elimination Chamber. Elimination Chamber. Sorry. And then I thought he did really good. He's definitely starting to hold his own. And I was thinking about you guys in the last time I was on here and we talked about that Mark Henry Sheamus barricade spot.
Right.
So here's what you do. Go watch that Mark Henry Sheamus barricade spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then go watch the ones that Roman Reigns did.
Yeah.
Just, like, again.
I dug the one that he had against Kane at TLC.
Yeah, that one
The
was
one that
too.
He did here against Sheamus is just in a whole new class. That was just...
Yeah, that's how you do it. And it's like, for me...
It was well staged and everything.
Yeah. It's not like, again, it's a padded barricade. I'm not that fond of the spot, but I do, especially that they seem to be doing it a lot lately, which is kind of weird, that exact same barricade, everyone gets speared through. But still, I thought it looked really good. And again, Rollins and Ambrose thought they did fantastic. Oh, yeah.
And just like the combo stuff that they did just off the fast tags and everything.
And not only that, when Cena was the one in trouble, that was kind of surprising in itself.
Right.
There were three or four point, like tag matches... I think it might have been Joel that said it last time I was on. Like, tag matches tend to have a somewhat predictable formula. Six-mans can follow that quite a bit. But there were three or four points where it looked like Cena was going to go and get the tag to one of his other numbnut friends.
Right.
And
like, we're all waiting for that moment for Cena to get the hot tag and come in and take care of business.
And they cut him off a bunch of times. And they made it look really good. I think... You know, I'm not surprised that the Shield did good. I was as surprised as you were that it was as good as it was, and that the Shield won. I don't think it hurts anybody because as we saw on Raw. I don't care if Irish John Cena and Ryberg get hurt anyway. Because if they get pushed down the card, so much the better. Because the thing is, at one point, John Cena is going to go, or he's going to get Hep C from a porn star or something. And then at that point, we probably are stuck with Irish John Cena and Ryberg. So at that, like, I would sorry about that. I bring this show in the toilet. I'm sorry, so the fact that they like the Shield won here, I was really surprised and impressed because everybody was worried, including myself, that they were just going to feed them to this Ryback monkey, and then that was going to be the end of it. And now they won both high profile matches that they've been in, and this both matches had they were fighting high profile wrestlers, and then they won another one on Raw.
Oh yeah!
Like I was really it, even though I.
It's getting to the point now where, like, even Superface commentator Jerry Lawler has to acknowledge how tough these guys are.
Yeah.
And how great they've showed themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really liked how just how convincing they made the win look both times. There were no shenanigans either time.
No. The only thing that was odd about the ending of the Chamber match with them... Because I went back and watched a little bit of it earlier today. Cena hits his finisher on Dean Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
And right when he does that, that's when Roman Reigns comes in to spear Ryback and Seth Rollins lands on top of him. They pin.
Yeah.
At that point, whenever the spear hits, Cena is done with his finisher move. And he's right next to Ryback. He could have easily just, knocked someone over.
Yeah.
And the match would have kept going.
That was the only thing that
looked kind of odd. Just that's the one thing. Like Cena was the only one that ended up looking dopey. I thought.
Well, that's nothing new. But I must not have noticed that.
I didn't really think much anything of it. The first time I watched it, anyway. So
This was this was the match of the night to me. And the thing that was I don't know if you saw it or not, but it's like around the same time that people were daring me to drink while I was watching this.
Right.
Which is really self-destructive. You people should be ashamed of yourselves. I was really anticipating not liking this show because I liked Rumble. Yeah. I liked Rumble. I thought I was going to like Rumble a lot, and then it was really boring. So this time I wasn't. You know, the groundwork had already been laid for some storylines that I'm not very excited about seeing.
That seemed to be the pattern that I noticed that pattern in 2012 with pay per views because I consider 2012 to be a really good year for WWE's pay per views. Mm-hmm. By and large, really good pay per views all around. The only exceptions were, I thought, Elimination Chamber and SummerSlam, and those are the two ones that, leading up to those, I was looking, you know, I was really looking forward to them, and they ended up, you know, not meeting my expectations. Though, the ones that seemed best to me were the ones where I went in not thinking anything, not thinking it was going to be a horrible show, that I'm just going to be, you know, pissed the entire night. And, you know, those definitely, like, exceeded those expectations. And I think this is just a continuation of that. Because, I wasn't expecting anything out of Elimination Chamber tonight. Especially because I was mad that there was only one Elimination Chamber match. I love that match, and I really thought there should have been two. But, you know what? They put together a pretty good show. Like you said, this was easily a match of the night. I really thought the match wasn't going to lead up to really anything.
See, me, I normally don't look forward to these things just because it tends to be the guys that they prominently feature. So that I was looking forward to Royal Rumble with Punk and Rock and the Rumble, and there was something else going on that I thought was cool. I was surprised that I was looking forward to it, and then I wasn't. This was a worse card on paper. And I'm still, you know, like I said, part of what killed Rumble for me is it meant they were going, and we talked about it last time, just directions that I think are a little bit boring and predictable with how they're kind of leading up to Mania. I still think that, but that doesn't mean like the Chamber match, despite who won, even despite Mark Henry, I thought it was pretty decent. And that is saying something for me. So, and this Shield match, again, you know, the Shield might be the one thing that I'm kind of excited about right now. That's going on. There's just not.
It seems like we were really excited when they first started, and then it just seemed like things kind of went dead for a while. That they were only, you know, they kept doing their attacks, and we saw them for like 30 seconds to a minute every week, and it just didn't seem like they really knew where they were going.
And only having two matches in the space of what, 3 months? That didn't help.
Right. No, not at all. But now that we're starting to see them more regularly in the ring, and seeing the company kind of have enough faith in them to try all of this new, different stuff that they have, I think that says a lot, you know, about how they feel about it, and you know, they're expecting major things out of this.
Well, and I hope so. Like those, I mean, you know, we've talked about the cookie cutter and whatnot. It's, you know, these Ryback and Sheamus and Miz type guys, and how they're, you know, you could throw anybody, you know, they're all interchangeable. And the Shield are guys that I like to watch because I genuinely think that Dean can talk and he can wrestle.
Yes.
Rollins can talk and he can wrestle. Reigns, I don't know about the talking, and I've seen one match where I just kind of thought he was your average run of the mill big lumbering fool, but then this last match I thought he was really good. So
I think you know, we can expect it's not really going out of limb saying that we could expect big things out of Rollins and Dean Ambrose. I think there's some potential here with Roman Reigns if they just kind of dial into exactly what his thing is. Like, he's a tall, big monster of a dude.
Yeah,
you know, like, if they just keep it simple and play into that, I think he'll be fine.
Well, you know, hopefully they don't get eaten up by the whole size thing. You know what I mean?
Right. That's true, too. It's just, you know, they'll probably have to do a little bit more digging as to find exactly what type of character fits him best. You know, Dean and Seth, they can pretty much take care of themselves.
Ambrose sticks his tongue out a little bit too often for my liking. It's one thing.
Yeah, he's got the goofy faces.
I get why they... Yeah, occasionally there's... He's really good at the selling. I think occasionally oversells, but not that often. But the tongue thing is a little off-putting. Like, I get sticking your tongue out every once in a while to be, like, menacing or whatever. But for him, it's like a lizard. Like, it's got to come out. It seems like it's got to come out once every couple minutes for air. I'm not sure what that's all about. Other than that, though, I couldn't say enough good things about this match. And this match, had, unless you throw the Miz on that good guy team, it has, in my opinion, most of the stuff that's wrong with who they push for the main event right now. So the fact that I thought this was good really surprised me. I thought, again, I was a little tipsy by this point, so I had to go back and watch it to make sure that it wasn't bad. But, yeah.
So no, it holds really up sober?
Stuff. Yeah. I thought so. Good. I thought so.
All right.
What do we got?
I guess we can move on. We don't really have anything to talk about with Ziggler and Kofi.
I thought they both put on a good short match.
Yeah, for four minutes long, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the crowd wasn't that into it just because they'd had the Chamber and the Six Man before that. Right. So that probably...
Right next to each other, too. Like, I could easily seen them put this Ziggler and Kofi match between the two.
And then throw the Divas between that and the main event. Yeah, I was kind of surprised in the order.
But they just threw
well.
Two nothing matches.
Yep. Yeah, they did. But yeah, again, like you said, there's not a whole lot you can say about Ziggler and Kofi. It was there. I think they gave it to Ziggler so that he could get a win. He's been taking some odd losses lately. The one to Kane, which I didn't see, but I read about. So it, that kind of surprised me. It's like, really? Okay, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Then again, Mark Henry beat the tag team champions, so what do I know? Next, we got...
Caitlin and Tamina. You got
less than anything to say about that.
There's no story here. No one really knows what's happening with any of this. We knew the Divas division took a big hit. You know, they lost, like, what, 5 Divas in the past year?
I don't even know. That big one looks like she's got mad cow disease. I don't know what's going on there. But
the big one?
Well, the one that's not Caitlyn. Tamina?
Tamina?
Is that her name? Yeah, that's her name.
She looks like she has mad cow disease. I don't know what a person with mad cow disease looks like, but okay.
You know what? Neither do I. But as soon as I saw her, I thought mad cow disease. I was just, interestingly enough, Jonah Q, mm-hmm. called out on the recall, or not the recall, I'm sorry, the round table or whatever it is that we're calling it now. He called out that he was looking forward to this when everybody else slagged it off. And generally speaking, Q and I have similar tastes, we've kind of figured out. So originally, I was just going to like throw up a technical difficulties graphic and move on with my life. But I decided I was like, okay, well, you know what? I don't watch them a lot. Maybe I've missed something. I'll give this a shot. But afterwards, I threw up a sort of a what I imagine the dialogue would be like of Sarah Del Rey when she showed up to start training the Divas and find out what she had to work with. Like, you know, I was like, okay, well, show me a match. And then they show Sarah that match and Sarah's standing there with, I don't know, Jerry Briscoe. And Sarah just goes, is there something I should know here? Briscoe would be like, such as? And Sarah can be like, are they retarded? Like, it's just like... like, sorry about that. But, you know, it's just like... I don't know. Okay. This was nothing to me. I don't know. Again,
I got kind of launched into a nice little rant when it was unexpected because I was expecting just like throw out one line about the match, move on.
Yeah.
The Divas division needs a lot of work, and I know I'm not the first person to say that, and I'm definitely not going to be the last person to say it. People have been saying that for years now. The difference is WWE. It's not up to them anymore. You know, they hired people like Sarah Del Rey, you know, to help out with this situation. What are the Divas themselves who are in the company, what are they doing?
Well, you can't turn just anybody into that. They've got to stop hiring. Well,
absolutely. Oh,
they've
got to
stop hiring the way that they're hiring. That's part of it. Sarah Del Rey can get in there, but if Sarah Del Rey gets there and Kelly Kelly's there, you've got
a year
of work minimum. The one example that I can think of where that wasn't the case was Trish Stratus. She came in, never been trained as a wrestler, and ended up being okay, I thought, by the end of not great, but good, and you know, maybe great the odd time. But even that took years. Like,
oh, absolutely. They definitely rush the Divas into the spotlight way too quickly.
Because they don't have that many.
Because they don't have that many. It's just, you know, what kind of work is the diva, are the divas putting forth themselves? Not even just in a physicality format, but as a character. It seems like they're just going out there and being like the, you know, the typical cute diva, you know, and not really putting forward anything that's compelling. Like take a look at AJ, okay? Like, some people hate her. It seems like a lot of people are into her these days. She's not even in the ring anymore. But it's the character that everyone kind of wrapped their arms around and went forward with. And it got to the point where there's no question that we're probably going to see AJ on every main TV show now because she made it that way with her own character and the way she portrayed that character. It's like WWE could just, like, their hands are tied. They have to show her. That was probably the reason why they made her GM, just so they have a reason to have her on TV.
I've gone back and forth with CV about this quite a few times in the chat. And okay. we have a girl there, Crystal, who's gone back and forth with it quite a few times about it as well. Because he loves AJ. Right. And, you know, I get that she's attractive and all that. I totally get that. Right. She was, I'll give her credit for this. She was smart enough to try to appeal to the nerdy comic type base of wrestling fans, and I'm not slagging that off at all. Those are my people. But it was pretty obvious to me. I'm not as into the AJ thing as everybody. I think she's pretty overrated in terms of her acting ability. But I will say this: she would be as popular right now as she ever was, even if she'd never wrestled a match.
Oh, absolutely.
Hell, she's probably regretting paying for wrestling training at this point, because she never needed it. She's never needed it. No. You know what I mean? And that's why I said it last time. Just get rid of this division. It's not doing anything for anybody.
No.
And now they've proven, again, not a fan of AJ, but if the AJ thing has proven something, it's that you can have women on the show without having a Divas division.
Right. The thing is, what AJ's done, you know, whether you know you like it or not, she's made herself a valuable commodity within the company, whether that's in the ring or with her character. It's one of those things where, here's an example. Whenever I first started to go out and look for a job when I was younger, the one thing my mom always told me was, once you get that job, you put forth the effort to make your supervisors or your boss or whatever seriously consider that they could not run their company without you.
Yeah.
Like, you make yourself seem really important, whether that's based in reality or not. And I feel like that's something AJ's done. Like, she's made herself seem very important to the product.
I absolutely agree with that. And again,
that's something that she kind of took on, like, she kind of put that on her own shoulders and built it from there.
Well, I think it started out with her being written well. And I think her being with Brian, and Brian being as hot and act as he was and is, that helped her a lot. Did she capitalize on that? Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely she did. And it goes back to a lot of what these other girls, another part of that skit that I wrote or whatever is, this is Tamina, and Sarah goes, oh, nice to meet you. What's your experience like? And Tamina goes, well, Jimmy Snuka is my father. And then she just stands there and is like, okay, and? She's like, and what? And what does that have to do with you? Like, okay, it's nice that we can throw that in, and it's a nice thing that the commentators can say when you walk to the ring. But beyond that, okay, can you do a splash off the top rope? Sort of. Like, okay, well, we'll work on that. Other than that, you've got nothing. And that match to me, like, I watched it, thought it was pretty much like every other Diva match I'd seen in the last few years.
Absolutely.
I always like these kinds of matches because I can always call. I wrote on there, I was like, I assume after this, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to talk about how the girls are quote-unquote improving, or talk about how the division's about to get some quote-unquote renewed focus. And then, sure enough, no less than 3 minutes later, no word of a lie, Herrick quoted, Caitlyn is growing on me on the ring and in the mic. Now she just needs some competition. It's like, called it, this guy right here, and I've had a whole bunch of Jack. So, yeah, that was, again, nothing, this is what I get for listening to Q. Q, if you're listening, this is, that. Those 4 minutes you owe me, my friend. I listen to you, and this is what I get.
There you go. And moving on to the main event that everyone was tuning in for, the WWE Championship match between CM Punk and The Rock.
Yes, sir.
I'll let you go ahead and share your thoughts.
Thought it was better than the Rumble match. That's pretty much goes without saying.
Yeah.
Thought that Rock and Punk both did better this time around in terms of botches. I thought the first match that they did, and a lot of people like to throw their blame on Rock for that. If you go back and watch that Punk Rumble match, the Rock and Punk Rumble match, Punk is equally to blame as far as the botches, not so much being winded. And I don't think you can say that a lot about Punk. The Rumble match, I think you can, because that it's obvious.
It just, the entire match just seemed off. Like, I don't know if
it's timing, whatever it is.
Yeah, like, they just seemed like just something wasn't clicking that night.
Yeah,
I mean that happens to everyone.
Like, absolutely, and this was better. I thought it was much better than the Rumble match. Don't know that I'd call it great. Would call it good.
No, it was good. CM Punk, he just played the troll part very well. I thought
he did, and I mean, there's not really a whole lot to say. There wasn't really anything unexpected or that surprised me about it. But I thought it was good. I liked, one thing that they might be a concern for them though, is that Punk is getting more popular, not less. It sort of seems like listening to the crowds, cause where were they this time?
They were in New Orleans.
Yeah. Okay. So Louisiana.
Yeah.
So, and that's a little bit redneckier than,
it's redneck mixed with French.
Yeah, well, okay, I don't even know how to call that, but the...
Cajun,
okay.
Cajun people,
And...
Food's good, though.
Like, you know, the dueling chants, CM Punk is getting a lot of those.
Yeah.
And now he's not in there with Cena. Now he's in there with The Rock.
Yeah, that's
and
a whole new thing.
And time has passed, so imagine you put him in there with Cena now. Like, that match they're having next week, where's that taking place?
See, I don't even know. That is... I have no idea. I think what we saw with their chamber match added to what we saw Monday night and the announcement of, you know, those two having a match to determine who goes to WrestleMania. I think all of that is leading towards a triple threat match at Mania between the three.
It does sort of seem that way. The only thing... Well, why don't we move into Raw? There won't be too much to say about that anyway, and then we'll get to
it. Well, pretty much, you know, the whole... basis of Raw this week was to announce stuff for next week's Raw. It was kind of like back in what was it, late 2010, 2011, whenever Vince McMahon came out, everyone was like, oh, he's going to make a big announcement, and his big announcement was that he's going to make a big announcement next week. You know,
that
was essentially what it was.
Especially in the age of Twitter, it's like, you know, you can just tell us, right? Like,
Okay. I kind of assumed no groundbreaking matches were going to happen that night because everyone's beat up. But at the end of the night, we had Rock unveiling the new WWE Championship belt.
Yeah.
I thought it looked pretty cool. I mean, anything's better than the spinner belt at this point.
Anything is better than that spinner belt, and I like this too. I thought it looked pretty decent. The removable side plates seem like an odd choice to me.
Yeah.
It's an odd. I don't think you want your big wrestlers known for accessorizing their championship belts. But anyway,
I understand.
Small complaint.
Yeah. I think that was their. They knew they weren't going to have the nameplates anymore. I think that was their compromise.
And the old school belts, the ones that I kind of prefer, they didn't have the nameplates either.
Right.
Whatever the one Austin debuted in 97, I think that's probably my favorite one they've ever had, but oddly enough, I can't remember if that one had a nameplate or not.
I don't think any belt had a nameplate until they re-debuted the World Heavyweight Championship in 2002.
Right. Okay, yeah, no, I don't mind the no nameplate either. I don't even really see the reason for it. Everybody knows who the champion is.
Yeah, I'm still kind of iffy about it. I guess maybe I'll revisit whenever we have a new champion and they have different plates on it, you know. But
let's say somebody like Oh, I don't even. Who? Okay, let's say the Miz wins the world title. I know. Bear with me. What's he putting on the side of that thing?
He's gonna have the upside down W's.
Okay.
You know he's gonna do it. Know he's gonna do it, and just
all
like John Cena's gonna have the big C with a line through it.
Okay. Well, whatever. But I think I'm not so into that. But other than that, I like the belt. Thought it was good.
I liked it.
It was simple, understated, and looks better than the world heavyweight belt, because that was the one thing that kind of threw me about having the two belts previously. Like the one that looked like a wrestling title and the one that looked like a hip hop accessory. Like the world heavyweight title looked like the more prestigious belt, which of course it wasn't. But this one's quite a bit better. I like this one.
Yeah, and it just seems like the major qualm that people have with it is not so much the belt, but who debuted the belt. You know.
Well, and what do you think about that?
I think I would prefer that, because everyone automatically was like, "Oh, Punk should have been the one to debut this belt like months ago." And yeah, I guess I would have just rather have somebody who is consistently with the company have unveiled the belt. Like whether that's Punk, whether that's Cena, I really don't care. This is the company's belt. You know,
yeah.
Why have a guy who's only there, who's almost like a guy who's almost working a Santa Claus schedule? You know,
I can answer that for you, Chris.
Okay.
It's because on the Santa Claus schedule, he makes more money for them than the rest of the roster does in most of the year.
Oh yeah,
like
that makes sense.
I go hot and cold on the road. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah,
I get it.
And again, it's not that big of an issue for me. Like, it's not a huge gripe.
Yeah, Herrick didn't seem to like it. I read his 10 thoughts before I came on here.
You had asked me if I had some say in the matter, that's what I would have said. You know, like they already knew what direction they were going to go in. My thought is just, you know, maybe have somebody who is steady with the company.
I think he's their face now, though. I don't think it matters that he's there every week. I think he's like Hogan was in the early 90s. I think he's there. I think he's the face of the company, but he isn't going to be there all the time.
Ew.
And, you know, back then Hogan didn't have to be because they were running four or five pay-per-views a year or something like that.
Right.
And sometimes he wouldn't even show up at those. But was, you know, I think that's Rock now. I think that's his thing. And, you know, Cena... Yeah, I mean, I guess Cena... Anyone's like Punk wasn't anybody who thinks that Punk should have introduced it just hasn't been paying attention. Like, I love Punk. That would have been great for me.
Right.
But that wasn't going to happen.
Cena's the only happen, guy. They would have done that Raw 1000.
Absolutely. And Cena's the only other guy, really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he was the one who had the spinner. So I guess that's sort of why he couldn't really do it.
Yeah, that was his belt. So. I guess so. Fine. You and you're making sense.
Damn me anyway. Well, the ending just certainly didn't look like that hard of a hit with that belt that Punk gave Cena.
No,
but
you know,
it was. Weird.
I think you know it was more symbolic than anything. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
He got smacked in the back of the head by the belt that he created.
I'm just I'm surfing through Raw here to see if there's anything. Oh, Mark Henry and Kali. Thanks for tweeting me that picture.
Oh yeah, anytime. You will find that now every time I mention your name anywhere,
absolutely.
I will use that picture.
Absolutely, I love it. Well, yeah, Mark Henry and Great Khali, hey, that's their... Okay, that seemed odd to me.
I am hoping to God and whatever deity else wants to listen to me at this point. I don't want to have Mark Henry and Great Khali match at WrestleMania.
It seems like to me, and I don't want to advocate for Mark Henry to be in a better match, but I don't understand why you would give him a win over the tag team champions and then take two main event guys and one guy who was a main event guy who probably shouldn't be to beat him, and then you stick him in there with Khali. And I don't want Mark Henry in any big matches. I would prefer if that chamber thing would have never happened. But I'm just saying, why did they do that if this is the next thing for him? I suppose they could just be planning on having him destroy Khali And then have somebody come out to save Kali or something, and then that'll be Henry's foil for WrestleMania or something like that.
I mean, and this is something that you can appreciate, if they do decide to go ahead with Mark Henry and Great Kali, that almost guarantees that the match is going to be less than 2 minutes.
And it guarantees that it's probably a likely candidate for the pre-show. Nothing wrong with that, but it makes the Elimination Chamber thing that they did with him make sense way less.
Speaking of Great Kali, I did want to mention this, just because I made the connection in my own head. Mm-hmm. Just going back to the WWE Championship match for a second. First of all, they were going through refs like toilet paper. Yes, and one of them, like, all he did was, like, CM Punk rolled over and, like, hit him in the ankle, and he, like, you know, started barreling over.
Yeah,
so I made the assumption that all refs just have knees that are made out of the same material as Great Khali's knees.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, his knees are sort of like Henry's knees, though, in a way. Like, you could stand a piano on those legs, and I don't to me, Kali is no worse than Henry. I think if Kali could do a Vader bomb, he's Mark Henry.
Yeah.
He absolutely is.
It's just one of those things where it shows a little bit more, and it's a little bit more obvious with Kali.
Yeah, it is.
Just the way his body type is.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And you know, they're both just injury prone, and,
yeah,
you know, you throw two injury prone guys together like that, like, I'll take bets on if somebody's going to get hurt all day long.
They might as well just have the two of them need to just have a pillow fight.
They may as well just hand each other a sledgehammer and just tell them to go to town on their legs, because that's usually the way it works. Because usually with Mark Henry, it's the legs, and usually with Kali, it's the legs.
I went all cute and cuddly with it, and you went all ECW, dude. Jeez.
Well, what can I say? what else? Miz and Cesaro. Same thoughts as pay-per-view. Cannot believe that they gave Miz the clean win over that. I mean, I don't know how many... It's like the Swagger thing. I don't know how many times they got to prove you wrong that this is a good idea.
Yeah. The Wade Barrett segment struck me as odd.
I really think that the fact that they put him in a movie and didn't let him talk says a lot about his speaking ability. And I throw this out to the 10 commenters who are on me about Wade Barrett the whole time I've been here, talking about what a great talker he is. They threw him in a movie, and they didn't let him say a line. The movie is an hour and a half long. I'm not aware of how prominently featured he is in it. I realize he was never going to be the star, but at the same time, you'd think they could have given him a line if he could really speak all that well. You're right, though. That whole thing with Sheamus was kind of awkward.
It was just, why did Sheamus feel the need to even interrupt,
Unless they're leading
to some sort of thing between the two of them.
Well, that would be fantastic, because that's just further down to the card for Sheamus and further proof that I was right about that whole thing. But whatever. I kind of enjoyed, you know, the randomness of it. It's just the crowd had no idea what to do with it.
Exactly. And that just added to the whole overall awkwardness of it.
Tea party thing, we already talked about that. Dolphin Del Rio. Good match. Liked it.
Good match. It was a rematch of the main event match from last week that a lot of people were talking about. And
Did you see
why. It was a really good match. I enjoyed it. Another false start from Dolph Ziggler there at the end.
I thought he had a decent shot at that. It seemed like it would have been a good time to do it, just this close to WrestleMania, and then Del Rio can chase him in there. Unfortunately, Swagger, as with most things he does, would be the spoiler for that, because he's already there with his big hair and his slow face. But the match I thought was good. Some people seem not happy that Del Rio won, which I thought was odd, because he's the world champion.
Right. Well, the people who are saying that are the people who are, like, you know, way into the tank for Ziggler, which I admit I'm pretty well in the tank for him, but like you said, he's fighting the world heavyweight champion. The champ should look strong in this situation. So,
and Ziggler looks strong too, I thought.
Oh yeah, like it really didn't. That match probably did more for Ziggler than facing Kofi the night before and beating Kofi.
Oh, guaranteed.
So,
I guess we're kind of flying through this now. What's with Heyman and Vince now? I don't really understand the.
They were kind of butting heads once Brad Maddox came forward with evidence that he that Heyman hired the Shield and hired Maddox.
Well, I mean, what's the end game for this though? I don't understand.
What the end game is, I have no idea. I don't know if they're going to do something at WrestleMania. I hope not.
I liked how Brad and Vicky did the whole. I only caught part of this because, like I said, I was watching in the background, which is thanks to you, by the way.
And
Vicky and Brad are just like, I'm the assistant managing supervisor. No, you're the assistant to managing supervisor. And they did that like four or five times. It's like, okay, I've seen The Office. So I understand where this joke comes from.
We get the concept. It's
10 years old. Like, way to be current. And then Heyman cut him off. He's like, is this my cue to throw up? And he's like, yes, Paul Heyman. Love Paul Heyman.
It was good. And you know what? I like Brad Maddox, or I like to call him Braddox.
Braddox, yes. I haven't seen enough of him, honestly, to.
I would like to see a little bit more from him in the ring.
Well, is he gonna be doing that now though, or is he? Just...
I have no idea.
Yeah, I haven't seen enough of him to render an impartial.
Essentially,
opinion.
Right now he's in the David Otunga position.
Oh, Otunga's horrible, though. I hope for his sake he's better than Otunga.
Well, yeah. There's not a whole lot else on Raw that I can think of.
Just the six man, which we kind of already talked about. I thought this was also really good. I did kind of half think that because Jericho doesn't have a real obvious plan for Mania since Mark Henry and Jack Swagger nozzed up the chamber, I kind of thought that I might see Jericho turn on the two monkeys in the match room.
Yeah, a lot of people were thinking that. I kind of kept it in the back of my head. I wasn't really expecting it because it seems like they are pretty well into having Jericho stay face at this point.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I don't know.
I didn't. The one thing about the show overall that I and Chamber as well is that, you know, I guess we're sort of moving towards the triple threat. The only thing I can for the main event. The only thing I could think is if Brock shows up and somehow screws somebody, that could lead to maybe a different main event, or maybe the Undertaker shows up and stops Punk if Punk tries to get the Shield or Brock to help him. Maybe that could even lead into Undertaker Brock or Brock. It could lead to 100 different things, but
It's just it all depends on you know exactly what happens next Monday night.
So I thought they did a good job with that though. Like if they're you know usually. I find with not just WrestleMania, but a lot of pay-per-view build-ups, they announce, they make it very obvious what the matches are going to be ahead of time.
Right.
But then it's almost like they spend too many weeks building up to it, and that leads to some very obvious and very predictable TV. So if there was one good thing I could say, and again, I thought Raw was pretty boring aside from Del Rio and Ziggler, but if there's one thing that they probably did a good job with, it was keeping the anticipation up for the WrestleMania card. Like, you want to tune in now. And not just for that main event stuff either. Like, you don't know what Jericho's going to be doing for Mania. We don't know what...
They're being really ambiguous about it at this point. And I think, you know, yeah, like you said, it keeps the hype up about it. Keeps the anticipation about it.
Yeah, Sheamus, Ryback, Brock. Yeah,
like these are guys that we all assume is going to be on WrestleMania somewhere.
Unfortunately. And when... For some of them. I'm sorry. And then... It's funny that they didn't try this more often. It's maybe not so much for the lesser pay-per-views to try to sell tickets or whatever, but Mania is kind of a, you know, a lot of people are, it's sold out, obviously, and a lot of people are going to be buying it anyway. So I think the fact that they're taking their time building up to it, that I think that's probably going to help their cause in terms of people watching Raw over the next little while. Okay. Than if they'd made all the matches kind of obvious. I guess we're getting Brian Kane, which... can't say I'm too excited about.
Yeah, but I know that those two can, you know, pull out a good match.
They'll pull some out, yeah.
Right. They'll make the best of it, I think.
Is Triple H going to wrestle?
I'm still assuming Triple H and Brock is going to have a rematch.
Yeah, I guess they kind of started that whole thing with Vince, didn't they? There's not a lot of other ways they can go with that if Rock and Cena are otherwise.
I'm assuming there's going to be some sort of interference in Heyman and McMahon next week. And then someone's going to come out there to save the other one or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Because they've got that. I forgot that they have that along with that Cena and Punk match, too.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, so, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, this show is more of a ad for next week's Raw.
Exactly.
But, yeah. Well, I just, like, again, if they're going to continue to go the predictable direction that we thought they were going to go, even though I didn't, the direction I bores me, but still, you know, that I just want to say again, overall, I thought EC was a very good match. Didn't think much of the Divas, but that is pretty much to be expected. Right. Miz and Cesaro, didn't think much of that, but everything else, even, you know, Big Show and Del Rio, despite what happened, I thought it was pretty good. Raw, yeah, it was kind of the usual show for me.
Yeah, no, but I agree.
Overall, though, man, like, for me to have seen a show that I like this much, you've got to realize how unusual that is for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I noticed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did want to have one just final question that really was apropos of nothing. Mm-hmm. Me and Joel, when we sat down to watch Elimination Chamber Sunday night, we had a conversation while we were just kind of waiting around. And it was, what would be the one thing that WWE did that would completely surprise you? The one thing that can completely catch you off guard, and I'll let you, you know, see if I'll let you come up with an answer here in a second, and I'll give you what we came up with.
Okay.
Personally, I went the whole smark route.
It would come on out with it.
I know it would completely surprise me if WWE in the near future actually did do a intentionally did a Cena turn. Complete and utterly, full-on turn. That would be the one thing that would actually surprise me now. Joel's answer was... his was a little bit more left-field than mine. It would surprise him if the whole Chris Benoit death was a work.
Oh.
And he came out and was like, "Hey, guys, I'm alive." You know, he kept going on, this whole storyline, and I'm like... Well, what about his, you know, family that he killed? It's like, no, that was a work too. They're alive.
Yeah,
it's like,
alive.
Thank you for clarifying.
Wow, he's right. That would surprise me. Certainly more than a Cena heard heel turn would.
Right, he baited me. I was being serious, and I didn't know he was gonna fire at me with the Benoit story.
So I'm guessing you want me to keep my answer as yours, grounded within the realm of possibility.
Nah.
Shoot for the stars. Hey, wow. every time I see Hogan come back,
mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit more surprised by it. A Hogan return now, accompanied by a match, would surprise me.
He's so into TNA?
No, I just think because he's so...
old?
Not that as well, but he's just had so many falling outs with this company, and there's less reason for them to do it now. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's had his moment. He's got his wing.
I don't know, man. I don't know if it would be that surprising to me. I think now that we've seen Bret Hart mend some fences, and we've seen Bruno mend some fences, it wouldn't surprise me if anyone came back at that point.
It's all about the almighty dollar, I guess.
Oh,
if they
can
get some cash out of it. I once said that you could donkey punch Linda McMahon and Vince would still bring you back if he thought you could make him some serious money.
I mean, he would want to put that on camera.
Yeah, no, I know he would. I don't know. The Cena heel turn, I've said this a whole bunch of times. I think more people hate Cena now because he is the way he is, I don't even know that a heel turn would accomplish anything. The only way I can see them doing it, I really liked one of the, probably my absolute favorite thing that WWE has done, aside from how they did that whole Punk thing at Money in the Bank when he took off with the belt.
Right.
The only other thing that I can honestly say that I've loved was how they did the last 4 months of Shawn Michaels' career. How they just took...
Yeah.
It was like how you would do it on an actual TV show, like a drama.
Right.
And
a guy who's desperately trying to accomplish this goal, but gets every door shut in his face kind of thing.
And not even just that he went from... Ever since he came back, he was a good guy. Ever since he came back in 02 or 03 or whatever it was.
Right.
He was a good guy. And he could have just... It would have been the easiest thing in the world, and they've done it 100 times, for him to just go out... and have a good guy versus good guy match with Taker, lose and retire.
Right.
Rather than do that, they had him, you know, with Triple H, lost his belt, started going crazy. Yeah. Like, it was like a it was like a full-on
attacking refs at Royal Rumble.
Yeah, he had a full-on mental collapse. He, you know, he attacked refs. He more or less busted up with his best buddy until the very end there. He looked like he was going nuts. He, like, descended into this thing of depression. And and then it culminated in a match with WrestleMania, which he lost. And I thought that was the greatest thing in the world because he knew he was going to be gone. I don't think he's ever going to become – not ever coming back to wrestle anyway. Right. And I just feel like for wrestlers, they want to go out at the top. And it's like an ego thing for them almost where it's just like, okay, I can lose, but I've I'm still going to be this like beloved character or whatever. Sean is smart enough to know, I think, that – you know what? I've had this long career. It's going to be, I'm going to be remembered no matter what I do. And they created just a great and unpredictable storyline out of this meeting. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah,
and
I definitely agree. It was very well done storytelling.
Absolutely. I think that I think that something like that for Cena,
like an actual, like, deep
storyline. Bring him close to the verge of a psychotic break, have him go and have him lose.
You know what? I really was expecting something like that after losing to Rock last WrestleMania.
Like, yeah, well, I was too.
What was he going to do? Like, he lost. Like, after saying for months and months that was losing wasn't an option. Like, this was his life kind of thing. Like,
and they teased it too because they did the Kane thing before that and Ryder, where he was a little bit disgraced after whatever happened with the girl with the boobs. What's her name?
Eve.
That's the one. And so, you know, with the Ryder thing, he was a little bit disgraced by that, and then it turned out she was playing him, and then Kane had the whole embrace the hate, and it looked like he was almost going for it. And I thought what would have been a really good thing for them to do would have been for them to have that start the wheels in motion. The Rock thing almost pushes him over the edge, and then I thought the ultimate thing to do would have been to have Brock beat him and decidedly destroy him. Finish what should have happened in that match. And then have him go. Just have him go. And even have him go and disappear for a few months at a time. You know what I mean? And bring him back.
When he came back, the crowd would go nuts.
Yeah, but I think that was the only... A lot of people quite often claim, oh, they're going to turn Cena heel here, they're going to turn Cena heel here. That is... I don't think they ever will. I don't claim to know what goes on. Right. Maybe they've considered it before, but that is the only time I've ever seen them actually play with the idea on TV for everybody to see.
Right.
I don't know why they. Again, I'd love to see it. I think you're right, though. I don't think. I think between the merch and the fact that the people hate him as he is
already,
I don't think we're going to see it. No, that's just my opinion.
Well, I guess we should wrap it up then. I'm going to try to go through this without having a script. Remember to follow us on Twitter, at CR Attire. We cover every Monday Night Raw, some Sundays when appropriate, some Friday nights whenever we're feeling squirrely and randomly during the week. I have a thing now. As we mentioned earlier, this is my birthday week, and I gave me an idea of everyone to come up with this was their birthday and they actually could get one WWE-related wish granted, what would it be? So follow us on there. Send us your ideas with the hashtag WWE birthday. Remember, you can send us your emails, any thoughts, questions, anything you want us to address here on the show. I want some hate mail. I want people to yell at. Come on, people. Let's do
it. It happens to me all the time. It's fun.
See, send that my way. Yeah. That's classic attire.
Come on, Flaming Wombat. Flaming Wombat, you got to send Sanders some hate mail, too. It can't all go to me.
There you go. again, classic attire at gmail.com. We also have a Tumblr where we post wrestling shenanigans, old episodes of the show, and just a good time for everyone. I am looking for what the URL is because I don't know it by heart.
This is Joel's fault, too.
This is Joel's fault because he's not here, and that is classyringattire.tumblr.com. Wow, that's an easy thing to remember, and yet I didn't. And if you are listening to this on on wrestling.insidepulse.com. Leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. We love Inside Pulse. They are a great website. Everyone should check them out.
Absolutely.
And you can find us on iTunes. Just go to your iTunes store and search for Class Ring Attire. There, that's where we'll be. Subscribe to us and, you know, help us out a little bit and write us a review. You can even
5 stars.
5 stars. There you go, Blair, picking up the slack right there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, even if it's a bad review, you know, it's any press is good press.
Absolutely.
All right. Hopefully, Joel will be back next week. They actually go into actual performance mode next week, so he should be free during the times we usually record. Again, we apologize for the podcast being so sporadic lately. We're also having some technical issues that we're hoping to get solved here soon. So, yeah, until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.